for 2 months.
Count me up, I'm counting my bullets, I'm loading my clips, I'm writing down names.
All right, good stuff from Shelby Mass, USA Today, college insider, bracketologist. Check out his website. He does it every day. He updates those brackets. Getting you ready for March. Bracketwag.com, bracketwag.com. Caller, Texas show, 304-405-6301. Our next guest, Gazette Mail Preps, Ryan Pritt, talking high school girls hoop state tournament over there starting tomorrow at the Charleston Coliseum and Convention Center. Ryan, welcome back, my friend.
How are you, brother?
I'm doing all right. Like I told you, I'm trying to stay warm. I'm glad in the studio. I'm not outside. I'm grateful for that, my friend.
Yeah, at least we have no snow falling, so that's going to be good. I'd hate to have to traverse that on the way to the Civic Center the next 4 days, so it's kind of cool that way.
Yeah, of course, you know, it's great for the city, everybody coming down and supporting those schools, and it's all starting. Let's start with Class AAA. Parkersburg returning to the state tournament. They're trying to repeat as champions. They're wearing that large target, of course, than last year, and they entered when they entered as the number three seed. This time they are number one, and they're looking to basically avenge that. What is that? Outside that loss to St. Joe's during the season, they'll have Hampshire at number eight, 7:15 p.m. Wednesday, Class AAA quarterfinal there. Talk about Parkersburg's dominance and just how good this Parkersburg squad is.
We're talking about a Parkersburg team, like you said, lost one game to Class A number one St. Joe, and otherwise, for the large part, steamrolled through their schedule, except when they were a little banged up there mid-year, had two starters out, and I think Parkersburg South played them real tight once. But otherwise, I mean, their closest game in the Mountain State Athletic Conference was 17 points, which gives you some idea of what you're looking at here. This team is very mentally tough. They're very experienced. Like you said, they won a state tournament last year. We're in it the year before. And the things that you look at with them is their quickness, their length. And when they get in the press and you've got five kids that are all, you know, 5'8", 5'9", 5'10", it's just so tough to get the ball up the court against them. And got shooters for days. They go about 10 or 11 deep, and there's not much fall off when they go to the bench. And I mean, anybody who's going to try to knock this team off knows already that they've got their work cut out for them. And you know, you play the game down here, weird things always happen at the Civic Center, and obviously that could possibly happen here. But going into this thing, Parkersburg is for sure a heavy favorite as we start things on Wednesday.
We'll open things up on Wednesday with number two Greenbrier East and number seven Huntington. That's 11:15 in the morning in Class AAA. Spartans only lost this season against in-state teams, came against St. Joe's and George Washington. Greenbrier East got revenge by defeating GW 61-51 in that Region 3 co-final. Huntington's allowing fewer than 36 points on average. So if you're Huntington, you're trying to limit possessions and points.
Yeah, you know, I think this is a really, very dangerous game for Greenbrier East. Huntington is a very athletic team, and they have a little bit of everything. I mean, you're looking at guards and Alicia Turner and Katie Swan that can shoot the ball. You've got a post player in Madison Flash who is about 6 feet tall and can move people around on the inside. And if, especially if Swan and Turner can find a range here for three-point land, I think they give East all they can handle. You look at this field, and East has been really good on gear, and they're tough, which I like, but 2 through 7, any of those six teams could beat the other. I think you're going to get a really fun first round in AAA outside of that Parkersburg-Hampshire game, but the other three, including this one, I think could go either way, and nothing would surprise me here.
Other two Class AAA quarterfinals take place Thursday. Number four, William Park meets number five, South Charleston, 11:15. And then you have number three, University, and number six, Martinsburg. William Park began the season 6 straight wins. So let's talk about that one. 5-game win streak to Charleston, including that 44-35 victory over Morgantown in that region co-final. And then you all five of their losses this season against the three teams seated ahead of the Patriots at the state tournament. 2 to Greenbrier East, 2 to University, and 1 to Parkersburg. And then South Charleston started this season with 9 consecutive victories and have won 5 straight down the stretch. So this could be a really, really good matchup here.
I look for this to be perhaps the best game out of the first run in AAA, which is usually, you know, that's not breaking new ground at a 4-5 game. I think either one of these teams get a flip-flop. Of course, it doesn't matter because they're going to play each other, but you know, defensively has been where South Charleston tongue-tied, especially of late. If you look at the, I think they beat Woodrow Wilson 51-29 in a regional co-final, and to hold that team to 29 points, you're talking about a Woodrow team that spent a large part of the year in the top five. I think they were sixth when they played the other day. But it really just demonstrates the job that Coach Gary Green's done with this team. You got a senior point guard, Lavender Ward, who's been here before, been to the semifinals. It's nothing new for her. And just real athletic. Lashae Watts on the inside doesn't grab a whole lot of headlines. She averages 6 or 7 a game, but she's very strong, and she has good touch around the rim. And if South Charleston needs to feed the middle to do their damage, they can absolutely do that. So really like the way South Charleston closed the year. And like you said, Willing Clark's got a pretty good resume behind it as well. So this one should be really good.
Again, that all starts tomorrow, 11:15 in the morning. Greenbrier East, 19 will tip it off. And then, of course, we just talked about Parkersburg looking to make another run. That state championship Saturday, 7:15. Let's move over to Double A. This is interesting here because you look at Double A and there's guaranteed to be a new champion in Double A, which I think makes for a pretty cool storyline for Double A.
Yeah, Double A, and we've kind of had some Twitter conversations among some sports owners here. Class Double A was something ridiculous this year. I mean, you could make an 8-team NIT that would be fun to watch of 8 teams that aren't here in Double A, but you're talking about an 8 seed in Bluefield that was kind of hosed out of overtime against the number one seed last year in the first round. North Marion had 0.3 seconds left and were allowed to catch and shoot, which, as you know, is a no-no. But it went in, and that was the difference in that game to open the tournament a year ago. So there was absolutely not an easy win to be found across these four games, and Thursday is going to be very fun for neutral people and very, very scary for everyone who's rooting for any team. I expect to have a lot of chaos on Thursday.
Yeah, it starts Thursday, game one, 9:30 in the morning. That's going to tip off with number 3 Wayne and number 6 Sissonville. 2 teams familiar there. Wayne's won 8 straight, and then perhaps the toughest road of any team to get this to this point, defeating Nitro in sectional play. Logan, its regional co-final. Pioneers are number 3 seed for the second straight season after reaching the state tournament for the first time in school history. Sissonville, on the other hand, is fresh off a victory at Chapmanville to qualify for the state tournament. Outside of Fairmont Senior, the Indians are the only other team in Class AA to not have made it to the States a year ago. So that's interesting there.
Yeah, and you mentioned a tough road for Wayne, and you have a point there, but everyone who's here had to get through at least 2 or 3 teams that were really good. You look at Sissonville, all they had to do was go on the road and beat a Winfield team and had lost 7 in a row to, and then turn around and go on the road and beat a Chapmanville team that went 12-1 and won the Cardinal Conference and was 4-1 against Sissonville, Nitro, Winfield, and Wayne. So they certainly earned their ticket here, too. It's kind of funny because Sissonville, like I said, beat that Winfield team. They beat Chapmanville, teams they were 0-3 against prior to those wins. And here you go with Wayne, who they've lost 2 games to this year. So to kind of complete the redemption tour, Sissonville was able to get this done. I think it's a really tight game. It's a bigger floor here than it is at Wayne, which makes Layla Arthur a lot harder to cover for 32 minutes. And, you know, you give Coach Rich Keene a week to prepare for anybody, he's going to come up with a good game plan. I think this is a classic one as well.
Moving over to number 2, Wyman East, number 7, Bridgeport, 1 o'clock game. That's the second game. And I mentioned Wyman East because we know their history there. And they've won 7 straight, 19 of 20 since a 3-2 start, scoring at least 64 points in 6 of its last 7 contests, 72 or more in 5 of those games. Wow. And Bridgeport got back on track with their win at Nicholas County and regional play, avenging that 19-point loss to Grizzlies in regular season. So that could be interesting, even though it's a 2 and a 7, could make for an interesting matchup there.
Yeah, absolutely. And 2 really good players here to watch, Wyoming East, Emily Saunders, Bridgeport's Emily Riggs. Matching Emily is kind of weird. But, you know, Wyoming East comes in here every year, it seems like they're here. And Coach Angie Bonacini does such a good job with this team. And you know, they're a little bit different than anyone else. And Emily Saunders, you're going to see a kid that's 6'5", who's committed to play at Tennessee next year. And just her, not necessarily the production she brings you, but the way you have to game plan for her. She changes everything when you're talking about how to attack Wyoming East on offense and then how to stop them on defense. And probably as big a mismatch as any player that you're going to see down here this week. Wyoming East a bit of a sentimental favorite. You know, they came in here last year with expectations to win it. Of course, Denny LaFortis, their senior point guard, blazered me out for the second time in the first round last year, and ultimately they fell a little bit short to North Marion in the championship game. But, you know, the Warriors are healthy this time around, which is nice to see, obviously. And, I mean, you look at these 8 teams, you can make a case for any of them, and certainly Wyoming East is a strong case behind them as well.
It's loaded up on Thursday, of course. Game 3, 5:30 p.m., number 1, Fairmont Senior, number 8, Bluefield. Then the last game would have been 9 o'clock at night, and that seems like a pretty toss-up game there between the Falcons and the Cougars. Fairmont Senior, you said, was the favorite, obviously, here to win it. So kind of talk about them a little bit, and then that 4-5 matchup.
Yeah, Fairmont Senior is really kind of cool because they have a senior named Anissa Jordan who, as a sophomore, really kind of presented herself to the state 2 years ago. 5 years on a state title. She goes on to tear her ACL in the offseason, didn't play last year, and now she's back, and I don't think it's a coincidence that they're back. And, you know, I think Bluefield has to look at their first-round matchup and just kind of shake their head. I mean, they got to play a really good and experienced Bluefield team. I even think this is a really good game. I think Bluefield gives Fairmont a really good game, and any of these four games could truly go either way. And speaking of that, you mentioned 4-5. If you're a neutral observer around town and you haven't seen any of these teams playing or players play, go see the Frankfurt-Lincoln game Thursday night. In Frankfurt, you're getting a kid named Abby Beeman who averages somewhere close to 30 a game, and she helped get Frankfurt to the semifinals last year, and they just came off a game. You mentioned there's going to be a new champion. Well, that's because they beat North Marion in a regional final in a game they actually led 32-3 to start the game. So really think that if there is a sleeper to win it all in this field, it could be Frankfurt, and I'm excited to see her play Thursday night.
That championship game will be Saturday at 2:30 for AA again. Action starts Thursday at 9:30 with Wayne and Sissonville. And finally, Class A, running out of time here. Got about 4 minutes left. Of the 8 teams in this year's Class A state tournament, though, 7 are returning for at least a second straight year. Man, that just shows how consistently good these Class A programs are.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, this is kind of more similar to Triple A. You've got a team at the top in St. Joe who, you know, was the clear favorite last year, got to the state title game and got beat by Wheeling Central in what was a great game, but they certainly played like a team in a mission all through this year. You're talking about a team that went on the road to Parkersburg and won by 18 points, which is pretty eye-opening when you think about it. Loaded with experience, loaded with state tournament experience, loaded with talent. I would even say that St. Joe might be even more of a favorite than Parkersburg is at this point. But once again, you know, as last year proved, anything can happen. The strange things happen at that gym all the time. Teams have cold shooting nights, and we're going to see a lot of good teams at Pete Field again.
Class A tournament starting at 9:30 on Wednesday. It's tomorrow. Number 3, Magnolia, and number 6, Trinity. Number 2, Parkersburg Catholic. Number 7, Summers County will be the 1 o'clock game. You mentioned St. Joe's. They'll be at game 3 against Midland Trail. That's the 1-8 game at 5:30. Game 4, that's a 4-5 matchup, Wheeling Central and Tucker County at 9 o'clock. That can make for a really good nightcap there in Class A between Central and Tucker County.
Yeah, those nightcaps, especially Wednesday and Thursday when you get 4-5s, are always fun. I don't know why we got to put them there, you know, the overtime game to push deadlines out of the realm of possibility. But, hey, we're going to watch them anyway. So, yeah, that should be a good game. I tell you that the sneaky game there is the 7-2. Parkersburg Catholic rolled into this thing last year undefeated and got a Summers County team in the first round that ended up beating them there. And lo and behold, here's Parkersburg Catholic back with its starting five intact, and who do they have to beat the first round? Summers County. So, you know, Summers County's got 2 kids, both sophomores. They're both averaging over 20 a game. That's Gavin Tavant and Taylor Isaac, and obviously they will not be intimidated by Park Catholic. I think that's a really sneaky good first round game right there.
There he is, Ryan Prick, Gazette Mel, and make sure to get down there and check out the state tourney, Girls Hoop State Tourney, starting tomorrow there at the Charleston Coliseum and Convention Center. Ryan, appreciate your time as always, my friend. Enjoy that state tourney.
Hey, thank you, bud. See you soon.
All right, there he is, Ryan Pritt. Good stuff, man.